Happy Friday to each and every one of you. I hope you've got a home congregation that you're a part of and you plan on being there this Lord's Day and that you're all excited about it. We all need a church home where we can worship and fellowship and sing and pray and praise and encourage one another to love and good deeds, hear a good sermon, participate in some Bible study, all the things that are part of the Christian lifestyle. If you don't have a place where you're doing that, you need to go out and find one. And if you happen to be looking right now and you're within driving distance of the Elkhart East building, please come check us out. See whether or not we might be your home. We are going to start in Leviticus chapter 15 today as we continue looking at the things that God is giving to Moses on how to distinguish between the clean and the unclean, and we're talking about ceremonially here, not hygienically to begin with. It's going to help in something that we saw earlier in our study that needs to happen now that the camp is officially organized. You know, you've got the 12 tribes surrounding the tabernacle. You've got the Levites and the priests that are like right up next to the tabernacle. But they're going to be told everyone that is, quote, unclean, end quote, needs to go outside the boundaries of the camp during their period of uncleanliness. Again, not specifically talking about hygiene, although we'll talk about some hygiene things today. It's more to do with they're off limits for a period of time, okay? With that said, one more thing. For me to do proper teaching, I have to talk about some things very clearly that might be of a PG-13 and above level. So those of you that have younger children, and I know there's some of you out there that kind of listen up together into our study. If you don't want them hearing these particular level of topics, you need to get them busy somewhere else. If you don't, you're going to end up having some conversations. And let's just be plain about that, okay? So, fair warning. Here we go. Leviticus chapter 15, verse 1. He who is spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them. So this is straight from God through Moses and Aaron to the people generally. When any man has a discharge from his body, his discharge is unclean. And this is the law of the uncleanness for a discharge, whether his body runs with his discharge or his body is blocked up by his discharge, it is uncleanness. Now, what are we talking about here? Pretty much anything that comes out of a guy that's not normal or not within reason of normality. What we're talking about here are things like he's got diarrhea. And actually, the he here, understand the gender specificity is probably not intended. Any human, any Israeli who has diarrhea, or maybe they've got a really bad cough and it's productive and so they're hacking stuff up. Maybe they got a really bad runny nose. We've all been there, haven't we? And they're blowing some nasty green stuff. Or perhaps they've actually cut themselves. Or they might be bleeding from one of their orifices. None of that is the way the body is supposed to be functioning, is it? And so that is going to count as a problem. They're needing to be counted as unclean. And this is the reason why I put the caveat in today, that while the word unclean that we've talked about repeatedly is much more in the sense of off-limits than hygiene, in this case, I think we are talking hygiene because we know that that's all symbolic or that's all symptomatic, I guess I should say instead, of some health problem. Now, what do they do? What's the instruction God gives them? And the instruction he gives is perfect for dealing with such health issues. Verse 4, every bed on which the one with the discharge lies shall be unclean, and everything on which he sits shall be unclean. And anyone who touches his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until evening, which means basically until the following day, because Jewish days are counted from sunset to sunset. Whoever sits on anything on which the one with the discharge has sat shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until evening. So this, all these procedures are going to help cut down in the transmission of disease that might be behind these discharges. Now remember, they're living in, you know, the 15th century BC, long before the understanding of microbes and transmission thanks to germs has been known. But God gives them some great rules of thumb that, when practiced, will help combat those very germs. So they need to wash themselves after contact with the person or anything that person has been touching, especially if their flow, their vomit, their diarrhea, their mucus, whatever it is that's coming out of them gets all over those sheets or it gets all over that chair. That needs to be cleaned. It needs to be washed. Verse number 8 says, if the one with the discharge spits on someone who is unclean. And again, that sounds much more like a very productive cough or a sneeze that doesn't get covered quick enough. And so it all comes out of the mouth and all over somebody else. And we all know about that sort of thing. We promoted this idea of cover the cough. You know, put your face in your elbow, cover your mouth when you cough. Wear some sort of protective barrier if this is going to happen. These are all procedures we think about today in such a situation. So here it is in black and white that God was giving them what they needed to combat the spread of disease. So if one with the discharge spits on someone who's clean, then he, meaning the guy that just got coughed on or sneezed on or hacked on, he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and then be unclean until evening. So he's trying to stay out of contact with anybody else. Whoever touches anything that was under him, I skipped verse 9. Any saddle on which the one with the discharge rides shall be unclean. So if they've been riding around, then, you know, that saddle needs to be cleaned up and considered off limits for a little bit. Whoever touches anything that was under him shall be unclean until the evening. Whoever carries such things shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. Anyone whom the one with the discharge touches without having rinsed his hands in water shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And an earthenware vessel that the one with the discharge touches shall be broken, and every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water. There was a distinction made between earthenware pottery, very porous, and wood, which has probably been polished after being sanded off and things like that, which is much less porous, especially if it's been varnished. Metal containers are not mentioned here, but basically, if it's extremely porous, it's not likely that you can clean it properly. So it's out of here. It's gone. But the other things, they can be cleaned and you'll be okay. So very effective, by the way, in stopping the transmission of disease. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit here. As I mentioned at the beginning, all of these things are being given to help the Israelis decide who will be put outside the camp. Now, that's not going to be as a matter of punishment. It's going to be a matter of isolation or quarantine. It's to protect the people in the inside the larger encampment, closer to the tabernacle. And so there will probably be what we would call hospital or clinic tents outside the boundaries of the encampment. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if there was like one clinic tent or one hospital tent for every single one of the tribes. And the Levites, I believe, are going to probably be the ones staffing all of these hospital tents or these clinic tents and helping these people get over their sickness. And so all of these things here are in the rule book for Levites as procedures to care for those folks and to not allow those diseases to spread into the general population. Verse 13, when the one with a discharge is cleansed of his discharge, so he is doing better, he's not hacking, he's not vomiting, he's not having diarrhea, he's not still bleeding actively. So that seems to have come to an end. Then he shall count for himself 7 days from his cleansing. So he has to remain in quarantine for another 7 days. And we've seen this number before. We've seen it in the dedication of the priests, and we saw it in the cleansing of the lepers. So it's a general number. Then after that 7 days, he shall wash his clothes, he shall bathe his body in fresh water, and shall be clean. So now he's reached an official status of being ceremonially clean. Eighth day, when it comes, he shall take 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons, very inexpensive, come before he who is to the entrance of the tent of meeting and give them to the priest. I've tried to characterize this a couple of times now, is now that he is better, now that he is clean, it's time for him to get back to church. It's back to the sanctuary, back to the tabernacle, but it's basically back to the assembly, back to the worship site. And when you do that, you kind of, well, you offer sacrifices to make sure that you're back on the right standing with God. So verse 15, the priest shall use them, one for a sin offering, the other for a burnt offering. These are 2 of the 5 specific offerings mentioned in chapters 1 through 7 of the book of Leviticus. We already talked about them. The burnt offering will be totally burned up. It's for atonement. And then the sin offering is going to allow the person to confess anything that they need to get off their chest, get things right with God. So the priest shall make atonement for him before he who is for his discharge. It's not that the sickness, not that the problem was a sin itself, but they've been out of circulation for a while because of it. And so now they need to get back into right standing with God, confess any sins that may have happened during this period of time, or maybe just right before they got sick. Verse 16. Now we shift slightly. This is going to be a normal sort of discharge. If a man has an emission of semen, now, in this case, we're talking about a nocturnal emission, common amongst younger men. But still happens with older guys too. Something happens and they have semen come out of their body. Well, semen, we know technically, is a blood product. And the Jewish people were to treat it as a life-giving product like blood. And so that means that he is going to be counted as unclean or off limits because of the contact with his semen. He shall bathe his whole body in water and be unclean until the evening. So more than likely it happened overnight. He wakes up, realizes this happened. So he does his washing, his cleaning, and then he stays to himself for the rest of the daylight hours until the sun goes down. And then it's back to business as normal. Verse 17, every garment, every skin on which the semen comes shall be washed with water and be unclean until the evening. Again, it's not because there's something unhygienic about semen. It is a product of life. It is like blood. It is to be highly respected and regarded. So all of the bedclothes, all of the clothes that he might have been wearing while he was in bed, all of those have to be cleaned. Now, verse 18 says, if a man lies with a woman and has an emission of semen, so normal sexual intercourse, both of them shall bathe themselves in water and be unclean until the evening. So they have both come into contact with this life product, this blood-related product. And so they need to go through the ceremony of showing respect for such a thing. And then they remain unclean until the following sunset. Verse 19. Since we've already talked about the proper procedure when a woman is going through her period, we now come back to what if it's something going on that's different than her normal period. So verse 19. When a woman has a discharge, and the discharge of her body is blood, she shall be in her menstrual impurity for 7 days, and whoever touches her shall be unclean until the evening. So same standard, again, to show respect for blood, even though in this case, it's not the normal period, it's something else going on. Everything on which she lies during her menstrual impurity shall be unclean. Everything also on which she sits shall be unclean. You might remember that story back in the book of Genesis, where long before the law came into existence, we had Rachel use her period as an excuse to keep her father from digging through the saddlebags of her camel, where she'd hidden the little clay figures, her father's gods, if you will, his little mini-idols, because she knew he'd never touch anything that she was sitting on when she was having her period. So here it is, seen in the law. Whoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes, bathe himself in water, and be unclean until evening. Whoever touches anything on which she sits shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. Whether it is the bed or anything on which she sits, which when he touches it, he shall be unclean until the evening. If any man lies with her and her menstrual impurity comes upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days. Now there's a distinction made here. If it's just blood that seems to not be related to the menstrual cycle, then washing and waiting until the following sunset is sufficient. But if it is actually the period that we're talking about here, then there is a 7-day time after the blood flow has ceased that the woman needs to go through. And if a man actually is intimate with her at the time that she's having this flow, then that same limit is put on him. We'll actually see in another passage, if we haven't already done so, that husbands, men, are told, don't have sexual relationships with your wife when she's having her period. Just don't do it. It's disrespectful of the life that's in the blood. So here is probably a reference to somebody that blows that off, or somebody that is involved at the very onset of the period. And so now he's off limits for 7 days as well. Little side thing on this. I don't know for sure if the women might have had a special tent set aside for them outside the camp for them to go to whenever they were having their periods. I think that's very likely that they did so. Something similar to the hospital tent, but in this case, nobody's sick. Everybody that's there just has the exact same life event going on. And so life goes on together with a whole bunch of them while they're in that tent there together. I think that makes much more logistical sense than the idea that a husband and a wife in their family would have two separate tents so that the woman could separate herself half of the month from her husband, because effectively that's what it was, you know, 5 or so days for the actual period itself, and then 7 days following before they could come back together. All right, back to the text itself. Let's see, verse 25, I think, is where we're picking up. If a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, not at the time of her menstrual impurity, and this always reminds me of the woman in the New Testament Gospels, where Jesus comes into contact with her because she has spent a ton of money trying to get fixed of a bleeding issue that is beyond a normal period. Because here's the deal. If a woman has her period, you know, about 5 days or so, and then it stops, then you can start your 7-day count. But if you get any spotting, then you have to restart the count once you're clear again of that spotting for 1 day. And so the woman with the issue of blood apparently could never get past the 7-day count. And that went on for, I think, 13 years for her. And she was begging and paying doctors to help her find the issue. She may have actually lost her marriage over that thing, especially since divorce was quite common amongst the Jews of that period. And so Jesus is touched by her, which would have rendered him unclean technically, except for one thing. The moment he touched her, her condition was healed, and she felt it be healed, and Jesus felt it get healed. Okay, so back to our text as the background to that New Testament story. If she has a discharge beyond the time of her impurity, all the days of her discharge she shall continue in uncleanness. She's off limits. She's not supposed to be mixing in a crowd. As in the days of her impurity, she shall be unclean. Every bed on which she lies, all the days of her discharge, shall be to her as the bed of her impurity. Again, the language here is about hygiene, but don't get caught up in that. It's got the idea of off limits and respect for the blood in which there is life. The life is in the blood, remember. Whoever touches these things shall be unclean and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. But if she is cleansed of her discharge, she shall count for herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. So now we go through the whole thing again. Same thing. Once you get past the discharge coming out of your body that's not normal, or the discharge out of a woman's body, which is normal, or perhaps which is abnormal, once you get past it, you count 7 more days. And then on the 8th day, well, first it says, and after that she shall be clean, so she can go back into her normal relationships. But there's a special ceremony on day number 8. On the 8th day, she shall take 2 turtle doves, 2 pigeons, bring them to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting. The priest shall use one for the sin offering, the other for the burnt offering. The priest shall make atonement for her because he who is before he who is for her unclean discharge. So she goes back to church. It's official. And thus, God tells Moses, you shall keep the people of Israel separate from their uncleanness, lest they die in their uncleanness by defiling my tabernacle that is in their midst. So everybody that is ceremonially unclean is moved, if it's more than a day, understand, they're kind of moved to the fringes of the camp, outside the boundaries of the camp, until they have completed whatever it is that's making them off limits. And then after 7 days' time, they are brought back into the holy assembly. Verse 32, this is the law for him who has a discharge and for him who has an emission of semen, becoming unclean thereby. Also for her who is unwell with her menstrual impurity, that is for anyone, male or female, who has a discharge, and for the man who lies with a woman who is unclean or off limits because of the blood. So that wraps up the discharge comments. When we come back next week, next session, we will talk about Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement.